Podtacular episode 429, the Podcast Network special, Why We Podcast Part 2. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm, and for this episode, we're doing something a little bit special. As you guys are aware of, we are part of a podcast network called The Podcast with a K. And we have a few podcasts that are on that network, and we're doing a special to kind of continue something that we did earlier on. We had a podcast under the Work in Progress banner to discuss kind of why we do podcasting, and we're continuing that journey on. First, I would like to welcome Agro from Crit's Cast.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. Next up is John from How to Murder Time.
Hello.
And next is the newly acquired podcast for the network from Guardian Radio, Mark.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Everything is going good.
Good.
It's a good day to podcast.
Definitely. Yeah, this is the best day to podcast.
It's nice and sunny outside. Got the windows open. It's good.
No pressure. No pressure today, right?
There's a bunch of pressure. Especially for me.
Not like you're going anywhere tomorrow or anything like that. Everything's cool.
Yeah, it's not like I'm just crunching for the next 24 hours to get ready to go to E3 for the first time ever.
E3 is days away.
I was going to say, by the time people listen to this, it's going to be like E3 was days ago.
I know.
That's true.
It still doesn't ignore the fact that I still have a bunch of stuff to do, and I still have to get everything packed, get everything charged,
yeah,
get everything
ready.
Yeah, you
do like 16 recordings every time you do like an event. Isn't there sort of Podtacular hour one, Podtacular hour two?
Not exactly, but there will definitely be a lot of content coming out of E3, I'm sure. I will probably do a podcast a day.
Well, it's funny. You look at me, Dustin. I mean, this is going to now be my sixth E3. And like you know, you're stressing out getting all these things together. I went and shot machine guns today, guys. Like literally, that's what I did this morning. Like I'm just like, yeah, whatever. I'm just going to pack it. Let's go to E3. Let's do this thing.
Extraordinarily macho about that. I feel diminished as a human being, studying in the same area as you.
So crazy, man. Yeah. So yeah, E3. Believe me, Dustin. I told you before off the air. You cannot go wrong. Just go there and have fun. You're going to have a blast. And I'm sure all the podcasts are going to come
still
out.
Still a lot. I gotta get ready.
I don't know. I mean, whenever we do events, it's always a case that like the more stressful you are about an event, the more stressed out about an event you are, the less time you have to have fun. And that just comes out in everything you do. Like if you're not having fun, then how can you expect anyone listening to you or watching you to have fun as well? If you're just there like a little bit laissez-faire, and admittedly it's not easy to do if you have like a schedule that you want to keep to. But if you're just a little bit chill, then it comes out again. You win. So no point stressing it too much, man.
Yeah, it's just the prep work that I'm stressing out. Once I get to the plane, it's like, okay, de-stress mode, watch videos, read books, just chill until I get there. And then I have a party to go to tomorrow night.
Damn, hard life, eh?
Just a little bit. It's just the leading up to it that's gotten me a little frustrated at the moment.
Yep. It's a lot easier to deal with when there's nothing you can do about anything and you just have to go with the flow.
And that's going to be 5:45 tomorrow afternoon.
Yep. Take that breath, that nice breath of fresh air, man, when you get on that airplane. I'm sure you'll be psyched and ready to go and, you know, it'll be go time at that point.
I mean, 5:45, I'm surprised it's not 3:43.
Oh. You're funny.
I am.
You're funny, man. So let's dive into a little bit of conversation. For those who don't know for what the podcast is, we're a network of game-specific podcasts. For me, I do a Halo podcast for Podtacular, which everyone listening to this probably already knows. For Agro, it's Critcast, which is a TF2 dedicated podcast.
Yeah, I've been on your show once before, so I don't know whether your listeners are longstanding or whether you're going to get a whole bunch of a surge of new listeners. But when I was on, we had an opportunity to talk a little bit about the stuff that we do. But essentially, yeah, Team Fortress 2 podcast. Play the game for like too long. Enjoy the community. Have fun.
It's all good. And then Mark is from Guardian Radio, who covers the Destiny game that is unreleased but is coming out later this year.
Yep. the big hype machine is beginning, you know, right now, obviously, with E3. You know, Destiny is going to have a huge coming out at E3 this year. And, of course, it's launching in September. And, yeah, I mean, you know, we launched shortly after it was announced. It was a week after Bungie announced it last February of 2013. We launched the first episode of Guardian Radio and have just been going since then. And, you know, I've told you before, Dustin, part of our show, or like the inspiration for our show, was Podtacular. Like, you guys were the first podcast I ever listened to.
Wow.
You know, years ago when it was Fumo and JVB, and then, you know, you took over at, you know, whenever you did, and just I still even continued to listen a little bit then, and then, you know, hey, Bungie announced Destiny. And
so are you insinuating you don't listen to his podcast anymore? Because I picked up a little bit of that.
I've been on his podcast a couple times lately. No, I do. Yeah. I do listen to the show every once in a while, man. I definitely do. That's what I said. I still listen to it. And, you know, like I said, that was a lot of inspiration that we took in with what we're going to do with Guardian Radio of, you know, hey, look at Podtacular. They're still going years after, and Destiny, you know, Bungie has a 10-year plan with it that, hey, we could do that too. So that's why we launched Guardian Radio, and here we are now hooked up with the podcast just like you guys. So glad to be here. Glad to be a part of this.
Yeah, you guys will do well, I'm sure. You guys already have a big standing as it is within the Destiny community, and Bungie's been a really good asset to you guys, backing you, and you guys even got to get a little sneak peek at it, which we'll get some more information about that at E3 this coming week.
Yep.
But last person is John. He's from How to Murder Time, which isn't exactly game specific.
It's anything but game specific, I would say.
Yeah. you want to elaborate on that? Well, you're kind of like the offshoot, like the red haired sibling of the podcast community.
Yeah, if there was, say, a bucket at the bottom of the podcast to catch all of the other games that nobody else talked about, we are it. We talk about various MMOs, various console and PC games. We also talk about tabletop games and war games and stuff like that. Just basically what we've been playing. Yeah, the idea is how to murder time. How do we kill the time in our lives to bring us closer to the inevitable death of the universe? But yes.
Wow, so it's a really morbid show then.
We know the ending. We all know the ending of your show, basically. It's the end of the universe. That's when the show ends.
It's basically like being in a...
Spoiler alert.
It's like being in a pub with a couple of people after they just played a couple of games and hearing what it was like and mainly moaning or saying what's amazing about those games.
Nice.
Very nice. The answer is always for you too, though.
Of course.
Whole end of the universe thing. For the whole network thing, we've had a couple discussions just on email, I know, before about how we can help promote each other and what we can do to better each other's podcasts. And one of the quick things we want to touch on is just, I guess, have a personal conversation between the four of us here on the show so you guys can hear part of what we're doing to help promote each other. I know for me, a lot of the stuff that we do is to help promote the podcast network is just kind of sticking it on the end, saying that we're part of a network. And then if we see someone else that has questions about anything, like we get a few questions about Destiny, so we'll point them into the direction of Guardian Radio. But what do you guys do to help kind of promote the network and really drive some of the content to be spread across the other podcasts?
Well, the one thing we do on our show, I mean, I don't know if you guys do this in your shows, but we always, you know, we do our little intros and we all kind of talk, and then we do this big, and I always call it like the housekeeping thing, and I listen back to it. I mean, it's literally me for like 2 minutes just rattling off like, here's our YouTube, here's our Twitter. And I never did that on any other previous shows that I had been a part of. But for some reason, I said, you know what? I think a lot of people miss that stuff because I would always do it at the tail end of the show. You know, I never did it in the beginning. So now I have everybody's attention at the beginning. So I'm going to do it. And that's where I always do it in the beginning. And at the end of our episodes, when I kind of wrap up and kind of roll through all that stuff again at the end of the show is how, you know, I'm kind of promoting it, at least on air. But then, you know, off the air, I know, you know, Dustin, for you guys with Podtacular, I'm always kind of retweeting your tweets, you know, things like that to kind of push people that way. And, you know, we don't really get asked too much Halo stuff at all. You know, our community is all just, I mean, they're so embedded and hyped for Destiny. But, you know, of course, we would definitely push them that way. But I don't know, what about you guys with the Critscast? What are you guys doing?
I don't know, it's pretty much the same thing. One thing I did want to ask you, actually, was that every time we post up a message, particularly on Twitter, you automatically favorite it. Is that something?
Is that me?
It's either you or it's one of your colleagues, whoever is in control of the Twitter board, automatically it appears to automatically favor our tweets. And I don't know whether that's like a deliberate thing, if that's something that you feel like you should do or need to do.
I don't know. You know, I mean, I could say it's Destiny space magic. I could say that it automatically does it. Or, but honestly, I don't know. I mean, it could be. I told you guys off the air. Like, I have become over the last couple of years managing this community here, this Guardian Radio community. Now, like, Twitter is my thing. Like, I am all over Twitter, right. And it's literally on my. You know, every once in a while, maybe every 10 minutes, which may sound crazy. I mean, I know I'm literally not doing it every 10 minutes, but checking my phone just to see what the new updates are. And a lot of times if I see it's one of you guys, it is kind of just that random, like, oh, I'll just favorite it. And maybe it's not that I feel I need to, maybe, but it's just like, hey, these are my guys. You know, we're a part of this network. And so anybody that may be following us at Guardian Radio and may want to see what Guardian Radio is favoriting, this is it. You know, we're, and then
we call it like a blurb. We're talking about the thing you say at the end of the show when you're talking about like the network you're part of. I know that the guys from Reachcast aren't here at the moment, but that they always talk about the fact that they are with like a half a dozen communities. And it's very difficult to kind of get that message across that actually the other communities or the things you're associated with are worth checking out. Like, it's worth going along to the website and having a look and seeing what else is around there. I think gamers as a group, generally speaking, it's rare to find someone who's only interested in one game. I think John is like the epitome of this. Nobody ever plays just one game. Even if, like, I play Team Fortress 2 pretty much at least every other day, if not every day. And I don't play a lot of games. I play a lot of Team Fortress 2, but I still play other games. Like, I'm still interested in other games and discovery of other games. And beyond that, I'm interested in the discovery of the communities that surround those other games. If you have this kind of this blinkered view of just the podcast that you're into or just the game you're into, even if you have that blinkered view, there's an opportunity there. Maybe one day you'll find out about this amazing podcast that covers only Halo, and right. you'll find Podtacula. And but then maybe your thoughts will stream onto, maybe there are other games out there that I'd like to try. And hearing that there's like somewhere else you can go to that has the same, I feel this is like an advert for TPK at the moment. I don't mean to do this, but like if you think that Podtacular is a fantastic podcast and you want to find other podcasts out there, you want to have your mind stretched, expanded a little bit, and your kind of blinkers removed a little bit, and you want to see a bit more about the gaming culture that exists, then knowing that thepodcast.com is a place to go to and see other stuff, then it's a great way sort of sharing our content between one another is being part of this group, just generally speaking. But yeah, beyond that, there's the retweets, there's the following people, making sure that you're constantly on the lookout for other people's stuff, to whether it's their show tweets or whether it's their personal tweets, and making more of a person's personality is also an incredibly important part of sharing the love.
Definitely. Yep. You know, I mean, that's why I pretty much, like I said, I think that when I favorite those, is people may go look and say, hey, what are these guys favoriting? And then, yes, it just directs them, you know, right back. Now, one thing, too, is when I pitch it on the air, because I'm the one usually doing it, is I'll say, you know, go check out the podcast network. I said it's a network of game-specific shows. Yep. And then I always throw out, and this is kind of, you know, using Dustin as the springboard, as I always say, you know, it's also the same network that Podtacular, the unofficial Halo podcast, is a part of. Because we, you know, I assume a lot of people that come to us, you know, are there because they're Bungie fans.
Absolutely.
So they're fans of Halo. And so when they hear, oh, Podtacular, I've heard of that. And then they just kind of go through it, and then boom, that's kind of what brings them over. And actually, I've been on Podtacular, what now, Dustin? 2-3 times? And we've had people that come over and they say, hey, I found out about you from Podtacular. So you have definitely helped us bring a lot of those, you know, the older school Bungie fans or the older Halo fans from Bungie over to us, because then they're discovering us because of that, which is great, you know, because really that's part of the crowd that we want to start tapping into, definitely, because, you know, of course it's Bungie, you know, so some people, there are Halo fans, you know, there are Call of Duty fans, but, you know, when it comes to Halo, it's Bungie fans. You know, there are people who just say, hey, I like just this developer, and Bungie, for whatever reason, is just very, you know, that community is very embedded. And, you know, a lot of them, I mean, you talk about it, Dustin, a lot on your show about Halo 4, you know, it wasn't made by Bungie, and there's some criticisms there. And those hardcore Bungie fans don't even want to play Halo 4, because it doesn't matter that it's Halo, it's not a Bungie game, they don't care. And so we're trying to capture those people, and you've definitely helped us, you know, with that on our side of things.
Yeah, and the Bungie community is really, really core to what they do. And it's been, I mean, just not only from what we do, though. We get a lot of support from the developers that we support. So I know Critzcast gets a lot of support from Valve and what they do with Team Fortress. And we get support from 343, and Mark, you get support for...
from Bungie.
Yep.
Yes, we do. Yep.
So, and John, yeah, John. I'm assuming you...
I got the guy who made Dice Wars comment on our blog the other day. So, oh, yeah, wow. we're well in with all of the big games manufacturers.
That's funny.
I got a response from Bill Nye on Twitter once. So that was quite cool. Bill nice. Nye, the science
I'm in
guy.
Awe. I'm in awe.
I know, come on, man. He said, it was either Bill Nye, it was one other, like, I'm pretty sure it's Bill Nye. He was saying about, socks. They're the lube of pants, which is actually, like, you think about
it's
it.
It's true.
It's true.
Yeah.
Except.
If your feet are sweaty, yeah. You can't get the pants off.
I felt compelled to retweet her and tweet him back saying, you know, in England, pants are what we call underwear. And lube is obviously lube. So saying socks are the lube of your underwear, that is an entirely different message. And he retweeted that, so I thought that was quite cool. Yeah.
So you just had funny. To bring the tone down.
Well, that's what you brought me in for. But no, John, how do you... Because we have no... it's a little bit of a push to say that Valve go out of their way to try and do stuff for us, but we have had a certain amount of attention by them. How do you reach the people that have you tried to try and like maybe interview some of the guys who are developers for games that you play?
Most of the time, it's just reaching out to whoever the community manager is, and if you've met some of the people, they are interested in doing a podcast because they want to talk about what they've created. They want to get out there why they're passionate about
asking. Kind of John, I don't know, like I'm being really insulting about this. John, have you even tried? Have you tried? Are you interested?
Dude.
In interviewing anyone, or are you just happy to do what you do?
I feel this is turning into a John bashing show right
Come
now.
Come on, John! Go and support your side!
Pick one game, John. Pick one game
just
and do
one
it.
Game. Just go,
the thing
it.
Is...
Just one game.
I used to be a games journalist. I stopped being a games journalist because of disillusionment and all that sort of stuff. And I know quite a lot of community managers. And it never... The remit of our show really doesn't come to that point where I think I should just we've done it before. We've had the odd show where we've interviewed people when Knights of the Old Republic was coming out. Got the community guy then, and we were talking about the stuff there, and it just didn't feel right because we're a show discovery a game discovery show. We will play in a week 20 odd games, and we will talk about the ones we find interesting or we find atrocious. And there may be computer games, there may be board games, there may be whatever. I don't feel that it's our job to, or it's what our listeners want, to go to these people and say, tell us why your game is great.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
We've played quite a lot of PlanetSide 2, for instance, on the show, because we had a group going in that, and we'd push them towards the shows that cover that on the network. So that is something for somebody else to take and run with. We don't want to get stuck down on one game, because it's very tricky to get stuck down on one game when you're like me and I can't get stuck on one game.
You play, like, when it comes to like what you've been playing this week, John, it's like, well, I have these 16 games that I played this week. What?
And
John,
that's a slow week.
What at 16? Would you give them like 2 minutes each?
John, the grass is greener on the other side, because me, I have a history. I mean, I was in the media too, doing a podcast. First podcast I did, it was the AVault podcast. And we would interview developers every single week. And that was one part of the show. And the other part was trying to keep up with everything, you know, and always trying to be up with the latest demos, the latest releases. And now being able to just sit back and not have to do that. It's just so freeing, man, just to play whatever you want. But then I also want to say, you mentioned about, you know, having developers on, and do people want to hear people come on and say, oh, my game is the best. I mean, I did a show where we were having, I mean, people from Bungie I had on the show, people from Bethesda. I interviewed John Romero multiple times, the guy who created literally Doom, the first-person shooter. This was a show I used to do. Here I was, just this, you know, younger guy, not even knowing, I've never done interviews, interviewing these people. And even though I had these great exclusive interviews, people weren't coming to listen to the show because they must not have wanted to, you know, like you said, maybe people don't always want to hear that.
I think that if you've got game-specific show and you're interviewing the people behind the games, then people really want that, and that's very successful. If you get random people on a show each week, which isn't designed about anything, then people don't want that. They want what they came to the show for.
Exactly.
And yep. It is really hard to get people interested in each week it being incredibly different.
John, whenever I think about your show, I actually think about it, and I don't mean this in like you're a bunch of comedians. I actually think of you guys like being almost like two Ronnies, like that kind of comic duo of yesteryear, where I think maybe Smith and Jones are probably a better one. Again, very British example. I'm sorry, guys, you don't get it. But two guys sat down almost sort of face to face on each other. One of them maybe has a little bit more comedic value than the other, but neither one of them is really telling a joke. But you're sat there and you're talking with great passion and enthusiasm about the things that you're talking about, the games that you're playing. But without any, it's just the conversation could go on and on. Like, clearly you have a period when like you want to finish it, but there's nothing to say that you can't just talk till the end of the beer.
It's strange you say that, because when we were talking about, which is something we'll probably get to later in the show, the inevitable move to video. Face-to-face videos that they did of them talking was one of the ideas we had of how we could do it.
Mm. I could see that working really well, almost like they're kind of almost silhouetted. The images are literally just a face and shoulders. But incredibly stylized, and I think you would get very, very... Like, you'd have to make sure you could really clean breath. Because you would literally be breathing in each other's noses at
right
that point.
On top of each other.
Yeah, that's right.
But what do you think, though? I mean, you say people, are coming to their show for them. I mean, to us, that's kind of what we're seeing. Is, of course, people are coming to us for Destiny, but it's the personalities, right? People are coming because they want to hear you. They don't want to hear the, random developer. Sure, it's cool you have somebody, if you're kind of the generic show having a developer on, but they're coming for you. They don't want to just hear random, Facebook game developer that you're going to have on this week, because they don't care about that. Like, they want to know what you guys are playing, what you want to do.
You don't keep any listeners if the listeners don't like you.
Yeah, obviously.
Exactly, yep.
This is an incredibly personality-driven, I want to say industry, but it really doesn't quite qualify as that.
Lack of industry.
Yeah. it's like the extremes of radio, but taken a couple of steps further, where the barrier to entry is a bit higher, so that, it's not just, everyone's listening to this morning show. It's somebody has to go out and seek you out. So you have to attract people through the personality, and the content has to keep them coming. And if you're a game-specific show, it's maybe easier to keep people coming because you'll build up a big community and
there's
be known.
There's an expectation that each week you're going to be talking about that one thing that people love.
That they want to hear about, yeah. And for me, these game-specific shows are kind of my way to stay connected to the game, even when I can't be playing it. I could be driving to work, it's 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm driving to work, but I'm listening to, Podtacular or whatever, and it kind of keeps me in the Halo universe. That, I don't know if that's how you guys ingest your podcast. That, to me, is how I do it. It's like, that keeps me in the game, even though I'm not playing the game at the moment.
Do you ever listen to your own show?
I don't anymore, no. Nope.
Well, anymore. You almost said anymore, then.
I used to, way back, Not Guardian Radio. No, I don't listen to Guardian Radio. Way back when I used to do the old shows that I used to do, I would do those just because, at that point I had to make sure we had these developers on. I'm like, it has to sound good. I hope the interview went well, and I would edit that stuff up. But now Guardian Radio, man, I just hit record and we do it, and I don't listen back because I was there. I knew what happened. I know what it is.
I do the same thing because it takes so much time to go back and listen to your own show, granted all the other shows that you listen to.
Exactly. Yep.
And like you said, Mark, I do the same thing for Critscast. Even though I don't play TF2 that much, I stay in the now because of Critscast and what they do and keeping up with the news, everything that they're doing with the community, all the tournaments and map-making competitions and all that stuff. So it's a really benefit to be part of a network because you do get to see some of the other side of gaming that you don't get to necessarily engage with on a daily basis like you're doing for your own podcast. So it gives you that access to some other side of things,
which is like whenever I'm playing, because I like playing Planetside 2, but I can't play it all the time. It's one of those games that you can't just sit down for 5 minutes. It's like Sim Cities, you can't just have like a night of playing Sim City or Planetside 2 because you'll wake up at 3 a.m. and go, Jesus Christ, where's my day gone? I've got to be at work in 2 hours. So it's one of those incredibly absorbing games, but I don't play it that often. So whenever I do play it, I'll play it and the whole game's changed. I'm like, oh my God, things aren't working. And then I'll go and listen to Reachcast. They'll be like, oh, that's what they did. And that keeps me, it brings me back up to date in a better way than the game itself ever could. Like, no game really does a great job of explaining changes to you. Like, it might put up a text box, it might say, little mouse moves around the screen, hey, we've changed the look of this and the feel of this. Have you tried this? This is a new thing. Pro tip, don't die. But but nothing really goes all out and say, hey, you know, that thing that got changed in April, where they've changed it back in May, here's a new idea with this new buggy that's happening. And, like, the game itself won't do it, but a podcast will.
Well, Agro, let me ask you this, man.
Yep.
I mean, we mentioned a little while ago we were going to talk about video. I mean, let's kind of talk about it here, because to me, that is kind of that what you're talking about kind of plays into that. Is like, there's a lot of YouTube people out there that literally just put up the videos that would show, hey, here are the changes. Here's what it looks like. Here it is. Boom. That's it. Where to hear a podcast, you actually hear the people talking about it. What's my experience with it? And your listeners relate to that because they relate to you. So they know that's how it may relate to them. You know, is that kind of where maybe the disconnect with some of the YouTube videos are? Because believe me, there's huge YouTube personalities. I mean, you guys know there's guys getting hundreds of thousands of views, but you know, there still almost seems like there may be something missing that an audio podcast has that, you know, those don't have.
So that's an interesting question though, because I actually had someone ask me not exactly the same question, but a similar question last night. I was playing beach volleyball with some church friends, and they asked me
on
question
a beach. It was just like part of a Wii thing.
No, it was like just sand courts at a park.
Wow. Okay.
So it's beach volleyball, but really not at the beach. It's just sand courts.
I'm sorry, you've been outside? I don't think how we can. That's
haha, very funny. So one of the things that I kind of think of whenever I think of podcasts is it's almost like the newspaper to the gaming industry, because podcasts aren't that main consumer line of content. You have a lot of blogs that put out a bunch of information, and a lot of people consume information via video. So it's YouTube or Vimeo or however you grab your news content. But podcasts kind of give you that opportunity to get out of that one direction discussion. Like with blogs and videos, it's usually you have one person spilling out the details or giving their own opinion. Where podcasts, it's
an enforced discussion.
Yeah, but it's a two-way street among the people that are on the show, because you can discuss it. And I think that's one of the appeals for podcasting, is because it's not just a one-way street of delivering information and delivering one opinion. It's a manner of discussion and being able to build off of the news that's out there, build off of some of the community content that's out there, and really have that conversation piece that a lot of people really clutch onto. I think it's that personality piece.
It's kind of like
the host.
It's like we're all on Reddit, but for some reason we're all the main people who always get like upvoted or something on Reddit. So it's our conversation that reaches the top of the list as opposed to anyone else's. There is a certain sentiment of, I mean, the thing that was running through my head while you were saying that, with the newspaper of the game media thing, I'm thinking we're actually more like sort of the fanfic of the game movie thing. We are essentially retelling the story, but using our own words. Every single time, there's an expectation that we'll be at some point going into some degraded version of an alternate reality, but It's still our voices. It's still our opinions, and so long as we meet those expectations, and even if when we go sort of if we go off into a rant, I think rants are brilliant on podcasts. Not all the time, because if you did a podcast only about ranting, it would get old unless you were very, very good. But it would get old really quickly.
There are YouTube videos out there which are entirely rant. The character piece is entirely rant-based.
Absolutely.
And they are successful, but they're very short.
Well, let me ask you this, John. You say they're successful. What is the success? The amount of hits? Because that's the thing to me. Like when I look at some YouTube videos, you know, guys getting 100,000 hits or whatever on it, you read all the comments, it's all negative. The video was about negativity, and it's like, why do I even want to watch that?
Like, if you look at somebody like Boogie, whatever his number is after that, who's a character by another YouTuber who makes a living to be able to do what he does now by having the rant videos and the sensible videos.
Boogie 2988.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that, I know who
that's
he is.
The number. Yeah. He's an incredibly intelligent guy, says some really nice stuff, but he has this character called. Francis, yes. And which is just basically rant stuff. And that, I think, is where the rant stuff has gone. It's become purely caricature.
Mm. Right. Yeah.
I think that's a different kind of entertainment, though, when you get to doing that kind of stuff. Because there's a few YouTube personalities that are big letter like that. But I think a podcast is very different, where you can get a little more intimate and get on a more one-to-one level with the people that you're talking about. Because they do want to hear what other people think. They do want to have that discussion piece there to help formulate their own opinions about the news that's coming out, about what's out there for the community.
Well, podcasts are basically radio. And you take any long form radio show which is doing a review type thing, which is basically what we all do, like a film review show. I don't know what's available in the rest of the world, but in the UK we have on Radio 5 Live a film review show on Friday afternoons, which has a massive following, is really nice, and it has that podcast feel, and it's had that podcast feel since before podcasts existed. And it is popular because it is a couple of people riffing off each other, the odd dig, the odd rant, but generally getting on with business, saying what they feel, and they've been doing it long enough that people respect what they feel is what they want to hear. So there's that thing about reviewers, which is always said, which is you find the reviewer who agrees with you rather than just pick any reviewer and agree with them. Because with film reviews, nobody likes the same things. You find the person who likes the slightly out there films or the sci-fi films you like or the mainstream films you like, and you stick with their reviews and believe what they say. Yep. And that's what podcasts are for.
Yep. I think, and even just a hit off that is what Dustin said about the intimate part of it. I mean, it literally, your audience feels like they know you. I told you guys that I, this past week, actually met one of our listeners here who lives in my town. And like, at first I was kind of like, okay, I'll try this, see how it goes. And it was great. But like, to hear him know the things about me, like he felt like he knew me, and it's because we have that weird intimate relationship or, personal relationship through this podcast. He hears me every week. He knows what I'm up to. He follows me on Twitter. And that's something that a podcast can really offer.
It's not even like in a stalking way either. I mean, the temptation is to think that, well, if someone knows this kind of intimate details about you but hasn't approached you, then surely they're like bad people. They don't have any right or they don't deserve to be around you. But the reality is you kind of offered this portion of your life up to everyone.
Exactly.
Right. Yep. So the expectation is there that almost, it's almost an insult that other people don't know you.
I can't remember if I told this on the last episode we did, but a couple of people I've met in real life through this show have become some of my closest friends. And it is, they happen to live locally. One of them got sent a message on Xbox Live, yay, saying, do you want to meet up? Immediately the alarms went off.
Yeah, as they do.
But met up. It turns out, fantastic guy. Him and his girlfriend now are some of my best friends. So
that's great.
You can really meet people so much easier because you're putting so much out there. Every week you're putting yourself out there. And I think I don't know if I'm just incredibly lucky, but you look at, say, fame for the people on TV or whatever, and the constant stream of bile they get from people.
Well, I mean, there's no expectation that any one of us are going to become rich and famous through this. Famous, possibly, even if, like, in the wildest of dreams, when television is wiped out in an instant and the internet has to take over and YouTube fails for whatever reason, and the only thing left is podcasts to warm ourselves with in the evening as it turns cold and dark, and we find ourselves in this wonderful position, this elated position of being gods of the internet, then under those circumstances, we might actually consider it at some point famous, but we're never going to get rich from it.
But you have to look at the whole fame thing in a different light because of how gaming communities are formed and how they really respond to those kind of leadership roles. I mean, I think it's arguably we can say that PodTackler is probably the biggest gaming podcast for Halo, and Guardians Radio is the biggest for Destiny, and Chris Cass is the biggest for Team Fortress 2. So you take that into account, and by that measure, since you are pretty much the predominant podcast, the predominant source of information and discussions on what's going on within the universe, you have that fame there. You don't have the wealth behind it, but people look up to you. People expect you to be able to dissect and help give them the know-how and the understanding of what everything means that's going on within that universe.
The amount of, like, when we used to read our emails, the amount of emails that we had from people who wrote in to say, I've had this idea, what do you guys think about it? Which is kind of a little bit like saying, I don't want to approach Valve with it, or I'm not getting the feedback from my own community that I'd hoped for. Can you discuss it live on air and maybe bring me or bring this idea into better focus? But at the same time, get people who would send us questions, like they would tweet it to us, or they'd add me as on friends on Steam and send me a question saying, "Hey, Aggro, how much damage do I do with this gun?" I'm like, check on the wiki. I don't know. I really don't know.
You are the pro. You're supposed to be the pro, Aggro. You're supposed to know these things.
Yeah, like off the top of my head, oh, that's clearly right. 75, depends how far away, and there's damage spread. And yeah, obviously I can help you out with that information. God, technically, I'm looking at it at the wiki while I'm telling you, but you know, so there is, as you say, there's this expectation that you are like the fountain of all knowledge. You are the keeper of the lore.
Right. And it's not necessarily about what you know. It's about knowing the right resources and knowing the right people when it really boils down to it.
Okay. I'm totally with you on that one.
Because if you look at a lot of stuff that we get, we dissect a lot of news. We ingest a lot of stuff from official news sources from the community, and we kind of mash it up, mix it up, and prepare our own meals, so to speak, for people to listen to and to digest and kind of take in for their own taste. And if they like the taste that we put out, then they come back and listen to our shows. And if they don't, they may stick around for a little bit just for the content perspective, or they might go on to something else. And I think it's kind of up to us to really figure out where certain people are kind of looking for different styles and different ways of introducing that. So I listen to maybe four or five different other Halo podcasts, and I listen to what they're doing, and I think, can I extrapolate some of what they're doing and incorporate it into my podcast so that people are a little bit more entertained, or they get a little bit more of a digested look at certain news aspects or certain community things, that kind of thing.
Do you ever feel an urge to have, like you're saying, the alternative Halo podcast? Do you ever feel an urge to get the presenters from those shows onto yours?
I have, numerous times. I've had people from, I think, four or five different shows on. The Running Riots one. Drunken Halo is another one. Griffball Hub is one. There's a lot of different Halo podcasts out there, and most of them have their own particular style that they adhere to. They're different kind of interpreting what's going on within the community. So Griffball Hub focuses specifically on the Griffball game type. Drunken Halo is more of a lifestyle podcast where they talk about what they do with gaming. It's mostly Halo content.
What they are drinking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you have a bunch of different niches within the Halo community, and there's podcasts that kind of fit those different roles, so to speak, where Podtacular is more kind of the forefront. This is what's happening in the news. This is a little bit what's happening in the community, and we try to take the best of the whole Halo universe, which is why we call ourselves the Unofficial Halo Universe Podcast, and try to boil that down and digest it for people to take in and really get a sense of what's going on within the greater Halo community and the Halo universe as a whole.
Yeah, but we've kind of actually taken that same route too. I mean, we, you know, just like you guys, break down the news because we have the weekly update and of course all this news about Destiny. But you know, we were kind of all in our lonesome for about a year. You know, no other Destiny podcasts were out there, and then this past spring some started launching. The guy, actually the first time they did it, they posted it over in our forums, and I remember one of my co-hosts was like, oh man, you know, he posted it, what should we do? And I'm like, whatever, man. You know, they want to do their show. That's great. Let's embrace it. So we've kind of taken that on as our mantra of like, you know, you want to do something cool in the world of Destiny, or you're doing something cool, we can be this source. And I think by us doing that here throughout just our whole existence, we've kind of built up a respect in the Destiny community as, hey, Guardian Radio, you know, those guys are cool over there. You know, we're just about loving anything Destiny. So if you're doing something cool and it's regarding about Destiny, you know, hit us up. You know, we'll talk a little bit, we'll get you on the show, we'll promote it. I mean, we've had guys on. One guy now is running a site called Guardian1.net, and they want to be kind of like this place where people can go to get tips about how to build your Guardians and Destiny and all that. And the site, I mean, the people he has working with him for that site is going to be great. And, you know, they launched their own podcast this past week. But great. That's great. You know, what sucks about being on the Destiny podcast is for the longest time, I had no Destiny podcast to listen to, you know, because I want a show to listen to. You know, this is the game that I love and I'm not going to be able to listen to a show. So we're just embracing it. And I think because of us doing that, that has really given us respect in the community as, you know, people that just, you know, we've kind of become the central hub. You know, I mean, a lot of people, I mean, we get tweets all the time, people saying, oh, it's Monday night, you know what that means. And it's, we have people showing up live to watch our show. It's even people from those other podcasts in that, because we've just created great relationships. Cause in the end, you know, I mean, you kind of mentioned it, Dustin, the community is what it is. I mean, podcasting is, you know, you're creating these communities around the show. And if you can embrace that and find a way to just manage it, you know, you're going to be successful. And so far for us, it's worked. You know, we're going to have to see when Destiny comes out as to what's going to happen, because, you know, that's going to be a whole separate ball game when the game's actually out. Our show is going to just, it's definitely going to change. You know, we know that right now we're in the hype machine, we're in hype mode, everybody's excited. But when it's out, you know, things are going to be a little bit different for us, obviously. But, you know, we got plans as to how we're going to do that. But it's all community, man. You know, podcasting, it definitely helps build communities for sure.
Speaking as a podcast, which when we do tabletop, we have two very high profile rivals, or other people in the same space, I would say, not rivals. We have
Fight to the Death,
Shut Up and Sit Down, UK group, do board game reviews. Yeah, quite good. Well, very good. Very popular. Have a
somewhat dismissive of their talents. Yeah, they're okay. Yeah,
You'll never hear of them again.
Oh, wow.
But I'm only saying that because the other rival in that space is goddamn Will Wheaton.
Yeah.
Who, just saunters in, does stuff, and wins all of the acclaim and everything. And you have to figure out exactly where you fit with these two big powerhouses.
Yeah, absolutely.
And one of the things we have in our favor, I think, is the fact that we don't agree with them. When it comes down to it, reviews are very, very personal and specific. Mm-hmm. So we can fit in quite nicely with these other big groups doing reviews, because we don't actually, our reviews don't actually agree with all of the other reviews. There was a game this week where Shut Up and Sit Down reviewed it and didn't quite like it as much, and we really loved it. And I think that is where you have to go. You have to support everyone in the industry, in your area, having a different view.
Yep.
Because otherwise, you're just doomed. If you start a game-specific podcast or a genre-specific podcast and say, right, everyone else's view here is wrong, you are completely doomed from the word go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's disrespecting your audience as much as anything else.
Yeah. Well, and that's where you have the sense of community come in. You have to be able to address those things and kind of talk about those things and kind of work it into more of a discussion instead of just being like a tit for tat kind of thing.
Yep. I mean, what we did too to help kind of us, you know, get involved in the community is we did, I don't know if you guys did Kickstarter campaigns, but we started one page, basically one name called the Destiny Community. And we just gathered the YouTubers, the podcasters, the fan sites, everybody kind of emailed all of us. We had like 20 of us in this email chain. Came up with this, you know, one page, and we all were sharing that same link to say, hey, this community's new. You know, this was last fall. So, you know, Destiny had been announced, but, you know, with the hype wasn't there per se so much. And, I mean, we raised over $2,200 just for, you know, these, everybody just kind of directing everybody to the same link. And then on top of that, you know, Bungie saw that. Bungie posted it up. And, you know, that community aspect, that community feel, you know, we've tried to really try and garner and kind of come together. I mean, we have a community around a game that isn't even out yet. You know, I mean, this game, it's been a year and a half since things out, and the community is doing fantastic in Destiny.
Can you explain, you know, that crazy to me again about in terms of going to a single website? Is that something, you said you raised funds. Is that raising?
Well, have you ever heard of Kickstarter?
I've heard of Kickstarter. I'm with Kickstarter, yeah.
Or not Kickstarter, what am I saying? Extra Life, I meant to say. Ah, here I am.
Okay.
My mind's going crazy. That's what I like to call diarrhea of the mouth. I get every once in a while here when I'm talking on the microphone. But Extra Life, we did an Extra Life campaign and got everybody behind it. And it was like, hey, here's a small community. And, you know, at that point, everybody, you know, still could have been all, like you said, tick for tat. Like, hey, well, we're going to do this and they're doing that and ours is better, and trying to be all rivals, basically. And no, like, don't, just embrace the community. You know, this is, we're all playing this game to have fun And, you know, for us, that's kind of just been our mantra and our viewpoint on all of this that we've been doing with it, is if we just stay cool with everybody and have fun, you know, good things are going to happen. And to us, it's been successful, you know, so far. But I could see your, in your case, John, being kind of the generic or, you know, multi-game podcast. It's got to be tough, man, because there's, you know, a lot of, especially when it comes to reviews. I mean, you know, at least we're lucky with the game of, or having a game specific show. You know, people coming to listen to it, they probably enjoy the game, right? So they like the game. And of course, everybody's going to have gripes about certain changes to the game and that. But in the end, you're all on the same page. Where for you, like you said, those, you know, separate game reviews and that, you have one show that's completely opposite. And somebody may listen to your show and disagree with your review, and then you lost them, you know, because you're like, well, John's a jerk, I'm not going to listen to it again. But some people respect that, that, hey, John has a different view, and then those are the people that are going to stay with you. So
yeah,
and if they respect you even more, they're going to leave a comment about it too.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things where it maybe needs a couple of episodes to pick up a listener, but when we get a listener, they tend to be very, very loyal.
Absolutely. I mean, I've got to say, the only reason I even know about you guys is one of my gaming friends, he was certainly into TF2, so I kind of know him through that a little bit, but he essentially said, you've got to listen to these guys, they do an amazing podcast, you've got to listen. And every time I spoke to him, it's like, have you heard them yet? Like every single time, even when I started listening, it's like, have you heard the next one? And the guy he's a really cool guy, he's totally chill, he's not like a four-year-old, like, why is the sky blue? He's a legitimate person, he has a legitimate job, he has responsibilities, he manages other people, and yet he was adamant that I should listen to you guys. And that's true of, not necessarily in terms of the evangelistic sense, but all of the people that I have met who are part of your community through other games that you've played, other gaming nights, without exception, they're all interesting people, and they're all very grounded people. I think of all of us, I am the most jealous of your community, because they are all fantastic people, genuinely fantastic people.
We may not have the most listeners of every show on this panel, but we don't have a single dick among them.
No dicks.
No
dicks in your community.
That's
fantastic.
Good.
And we kind of joke about it, but it is a really difficult thing to have. After a certain while, you start thinking, well, I mean, I should change this or do this, because this will encourage some people to come in, and maybe we'll in the new 1,000 people that come in and listen to us, maybe we'll get like 20 dicks, and we just kind of have to suffer through them. But if you are able to say, look, screw you, we don't want to have anyone. You can't control who listens. That's the other thing. You really can't control, but you can control the message that they give out about you.
You can control who listens a second time, to a certain extent, because if you completely don't appeal to an audience, then they're not going to come back.
Absolutely. Well, that's a cold and sobering moment. Whenever we've done like really big interviews with, I say like big in terms of, we interviewed Brad Pitt. Sadly, not the actor, but a gentleman who had assumed the gamer name of Brad Pitt. Though having said that, he is the guy who created a very an infamous trading website, a very well-used trading website. And trading's a big thing in Team Fortress 2. And Brad Pitt created this website. He has I'm incredibly jealous of the number of people who visit his website every minute. It's an extraordinarily huge number. And as such, there were a lot of people who wanted to find out more about him. So when we invited Brad Pitt on and did a big interview with him, and we actually had a really good, the number of people who listened to our show that week went up by a factor of 10 or 100. It was huge. But then there was the obvious trail off, like people who come to see or hear Brad Pitt, the number who stayed afterwards was a little bit disappointing. But it increased our numbers. It increased the number of viewers we had. Now, there's no way of telling how good a listener these new guys were. But we've managed to, over the period of months and weeks and years, I always get that the wrong way around, we have retained a large proportion of them. And I'd like to think that's because we do something that other people are interested in doing.
If they didn't want to listen, they would stop.
They wouldn't, yeah. There was absolutely nothing. And even, if you're really into a TV show, and, like, you're really into Game of Thrones, for example, and one of the episodes of Game of Thrones is shit, you will still watch the next one after that, because there's there's this expectation that it was just a bad week, or things that happened this week weren't really exciting and interesting to me, but next week it's going to be brilliant. That's not how it happens with podcasts, because of this sense that you're here entirely voluntarily, and as such your audience is there entirely voluntarily, and if you suck one week, that's it, you're gone. They'll never listen to you again.
The easiest thing to do in podcasting is never listen to that person again.
Absolutely. It's a zero effort.
Yeah. They would just stack up on your iPod, and they will still get the downloads, and they'll think you're listening, but they're not, until the point you think, oh, this is a wasted space, and you'll delete them. And it's really hard to tell when somebody does stop listening, but when people do stop listening, they're gone forever.
There are kind of analytics tools out there. I don't want to spend too much time on analytics, so I kind of want to save that for another show. But things like Twitter, for example, there are, if you assign or pay someone some amount of money, they will tell you when people have stopped following you or unfollowed you. And they'll tell you as a result of which tweet. So which was the preceding tweet that caused someone to stop following you. So if you have political views, for example, is a great one. If you're a Democrat and you're a staunch Democrat, and then you happen to say something nice about the other party, then you'll lose 30% of your listeners. And it'll flash up, hey, you said something nice about someone. Clearly, these people aren't interested in you for saying nice things about them. They're only interested in you for saying nasty things about them. So it's a great sort of... There are facilities and utilities out there for representing or showing you information about social media. But as you say, with regards to an RSS feed, it's like the once you subscribe to someone, once you've taken the effort of subscribing, whether it be on one of the Android facilities or iTunes or wherever, it's easier to continue to subscribe than it is to go to the effort of unsubscribing. So it'll only be like when you reinstall an application or you happen to be going through and clearing a bunch of dead audio out that you stop following someone. So it's very, very difficult to tell what thing it was that caused you to piss off whatever percentage of your audience. Almost impossible.
I don't think you should chase that particular
demographic
problem, because people are going to always hate what you say. People aren't going to agree with you.
Yeah, thanks, John. Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
Yeah. And but people are also going to like what you say, you just say what you like, what people like, and if enough people like it, you have a successful podcast.
So long as you're incredibly honest, not only with your audience, but also with yourself, about what it is that you like, what it is you don't like, and more to the point, if you fuck up, like, so long as you admit to it, you know, oh, God, I can't believe I said something stupid last week. I went back and got facts checked, and now I'm admitting that I'm a dick. But so long as you're honest with yourself and you don't try and pander to an audience's expectations, then the people who like you will like you more, and the people who don't like you might have a bit of time for you.
Yeah, there's a concrete example of that, actually, which is in YouTube land, but applies. There's a company which does battle reports for tabletop games. And they have a video they do after they do a battle report saying rules we got wrong. So they basically say, go through and say, this is how we screwed up.
Wow.
And
it's pretty good.
Just that existing removes a hell of a lot of antagonism.
Yeah, a hell of a lot of grief. I would love to have that as just that segment as a podcast. Like, I think that would be incredibly... like, because it would make you want to know what happened in the game. Like, at minute 47, we accidentally stabbed Nigel in the foot, and we should have stabbed him in the shoulder.
Yeah.
Like, that's interesting. That's exciting.
And even as a useful resource, it exists, because, yeah, actually, these are rules which are a bit complicated, so you watch these things, and it tells you where everyone's going wrong. It's just a fantastic idea.
It's
completely
brilliant.
Deflates any antagonism against them. It's just brilliant.
You've got to give me links after the show, because I really want to go and download it. And that sounds like something amazing.
It's miniwargaming.com.
Miniwargaming.com. All right. I'm right there now. Talk amongst yourselves. Gaming.com.
You know, I mean, you say that, you know, you can't really tell why they leave, but I mean, don't you think even listeners just come and go, like, all the time?
Oh, they do. You can't take into account anybody's personal situation.
Yep.
commutes change. You know, we've had people say that they just don't have time to listen anymore because they've changed job. And that's fair enough. If we do, what, an hour a week, and if somebody's commute is 10 minutes each way, they were listening to just us, and it went away, that's a problem because they can no longer listen. But, you know, their job changed.
Yep. And then, you know, I mean, even just, you know, I don't want to call you out on this, Dustin, but, you know, the fact that Halo 5 Guardians was just announced, you know, and Dustin, and you tweeted out saying, oh, you know, so many people have been coming back to us now at Podtacular, it's because the hype is there again. So a lot of those listeners who, you know, maybe kind of fell off the Halo bandwagon for a little while now are coming back because, you know, they know Podtacular is the place to go for them, at least, to hear about Halo news. And so now they're back. You know, so your numbers are going to go up and your community now is going to be more, you know.
From their point of view, I mean, from the point of view of the listeners, to be able to come back to a show that's still going, it must feel like incredibly reassuring. Like, it is like coming home and discovering that your mum still has a recipe for cookies. Like, oh, I remember these cookies. These are good cookies. And nobody's ever been able to beat these cookies.
We've changed a lot over the years, though, just from me picking up the podcast, and it's very different from how Fumo and JVB ran it. So it is kind of one of those things where we do have to get a feel for how some of the other older people kind of anticipate
what
the show.
What their expectations are with regards to...
Yeah, and to your pampering comment, John, I think there's a certain degree to where you do have to kind of pamper. I wouldn't necessarily call it pampering, but you want to get a feel pander.
Big black eyes.
You want to get a feel for what your community is expecting out of you. And if there's something that's maybe a little different than what you're putting out, then it may be worth trying to change up how you do some things a little bit. Like, I've noticed a few things that I've done with Podtacular that I've tried to make a change for and move in a different direction with Podtacular because of Halo 5 is coming down the wagon and we have stuff for E3. So I'm kind of changing the dynamic of the show a little bit to react to some of the stuff that's going on within Halo, with what people are expecting to see from a podcast, that kind of thing.
So how do people, we at the end of the show, we all say, if you want to get hold of us, follow us on Twitter and join our Steam group and drop messages in. But how do you get feedback from your listeners? What's your expected path?
Most of the time for us, it's just from people commenting on the show or tweets, or we'll get some people that hop on Xbox Live and send us a message. Mm-hmm. Most of the stuff I get, I think, is Twitter, and we do get a few comment posts, and now we have the forums back up, so I'm hoping that we see a little bit more responses in there. But it's really kind of anything and everywhere that we'll get people commenting on things. We get a variety of different avenues that people will go and post, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, email, Xbox Live messages, kind of whatever. One thing I don't check, though, is iTunes reviews. That's kind of one of those things.
Well, iTunes reviews are great because they are by great I mean really shit, because they don't group them all together. So regardless wherever you are in the world, your iTunes is slightly different to anyone else's in a different part of the world, which means that if you leave a review in the North American iTunes, that review only shows up to other people in North America. Which makes a lot of sense. You think about like language barriers and stuff. You don't want to have like a Lithuanian podcast with a bunch of like French people saying, "I didn't understand any of this,"
right?
Because obviously. So what they do is they separate it all out. But as a broadcaster, it means that if you actually want to find information or want to find reviews on iTunes, you have to go in and you have to log in to every single country.
There are apps that will bring it all together.
Are there?
Yeah.
I can't
remember its name because I got sent it a while ago. I looked at it and got really upset at a Canadian listener. I will find that link.
Please share it with me.
Yeah, please. I had no idea. Honestly, I had no idea that and now it makes sense when you say it. I'm like, well, yeah, because the language barrier. I've never seen a Chinese review for our, you know, or anything like that on our show. And I mean, we do have a lot of listeners who are from the UK. We have people in Australia, New Zealand. And yeah, I never even really knew that there could be feedback or other iTunes reviews on there. For us, I mean, most of our feedback is either Twitter we get, or we also, our Bungie.net forums group, our group over there is, we're like one of the top, I don't know, 50 groups or something ever on Bungie.net. So that community there gives us a lot of feedback on the show. And, you know, we do the show live on Twitch, so we're getting just instant feedback even through that while we're doing the show. But let me ask guys this about even just having a website dedicated to your show. Because we originally launched the grand scheme for Guardian Radio really wasn't even Guardian Radio. It was we are theguardiansofdestiny.com. We're a website, fan site, launched the podcast, and the podcast just took off. So it was like, all right, well, we have this website. It'll host our show. And we just, it was kind of there and just kind of sitting there. Nothing really happening. You know, nobody really leaving comments on the shows. And when they did, half of it was spam. And I just got tired of going in and cleaning out the spam and all that on you know, WordPress and our site and that. So we just embraced the Bungie.net forums and just kind of went that route. And, you know, we have our feeds. People listen through either iTunes or however else. A community member actually created a Destiny community app that is free on Android devices, or you can get a paid version that has, it takes the ads away. We're available on that so people can listen directly through their devices. It's, you know, going to be coming out soon. So people ingest there. And just recently, one of my co-hosts was saying, hey, we should get our website kind of back up, you know, try and push people to the site. And as much as I think we should, like, it's great, you know, we have this website. The way that things are today, just the way people consume media, I don't really know if we need to so much. You know, we need, of course, we need to have kind of that central landing ground for people, right? We have to have the place where they can go. But then in the same sense, it's like if they're really just coming to us to listen to the podcast, most people aren't listening to the podcast through our site. They're listening either through, you know, whatever podcast app they have on their phone, their iPod. You know, maybe they are just downloading it straight onto their computer through iTunes or whatever. They're not coming to our site, clicking the links and doing all that. So, you know, we've kind of had this internal discussion about that. I mean, how do you guys feel about that of you know, kind of directing people to your site? Per se,
I think you need a face, like some kind of face that is there for your fans. I think that a website's a good way to do that. And for Podtacular, we also post new stuff, and we will post a few things that we don't necessarily cover on the podcast. So it's nice to give those little tidbits to your fans. So I think from a sense of if you're going to do news and supplemental stuff that is maybe around your community, then that'd be a good way to go. I think for you, it's a little bit different because you do have your forums group on the Bungie.net forums. Yeah. We don't exactly have those features on the Waypoint forum, so we have to resort to our own forum tool.
Right.
And yeah. Our own kind of topics that we can post on the WordPress blog or on the forums. So I think for us, the website's a little bit more important because we do put out the new stuff. We do put out the community focuses sometimes and what's going on within the greater Halo universe, and then have the forum discussions there. So I think a website... Other than that, though, if you were just doing it for the podcast only, you do kind of need some kind of face to where people can go.
You have to have the website, of course. But like to me, it was more like, do we want that to be the landing ground? Like, do we want to push everybody there? You know, and that's kind of right now we're talking about, like, do we want to do that? So then how do we do that? How do we make that be the place when they want to know anything about Guardian Radio, they go there? Where right now for us, I mean, you said it, Dustin, we have the luxury that Bungie.net is great. Our forums over there, you know, people are there constantly. The community is really building up over there. And, you know, luckily it's through Bungie's site. So it's kind of helping us along, you know, with them. So I don't know. It's just something that we've been kind of, and I haven't really been able to talk anybody externally outside of our team about it. And so, you know, kind of hearing you say that, you know, you're right. You do still have to have that face and, I guess have that place for people to go, but.
Well, and I think the website facing that lets you highlight the big things, the people that are the things that people will find most important. So while you do have a forums, you can get really lost in there and you can lose some of the finer details of some things where you may want to point your listeners or point your audience in that direction, but you don't necessarily get that with the forum things. And that's where I think a blog or kind of a homepage would really set in really well, is that you do have the opportunity to highlight a big topic, whether it be something in the news or whether it be a community creation, like if someone made a epic cosplay costume or weapon replica for a Destiny weapon that's just been announced. You want to highlight that. You want to get that out there for people to really absorb and dive into.
I almost want to disagree with you on this point. Actually, no, I am going to disagree with you on this point. I can do that sort of thing. So the thing is that if you've got a website that people aren't going to, then there's no point trying to highlight something on the website with the expectation that people are going to find it, because they aren't, because they're not going to go there in the first place. Yeah. So you have to reach outside of your own little home and find these other people wherever they reside, be they on Reddit or Facebook or Twitter. You effectively have to create an opportunity. You go into their home, grab them by the scruff of the neck and pull them back to your website. Hey, look at this. Read these words. They're important. So from that point of view, I think I can see what you're saying with regards to having a location where this information resides. and being able to make a big thing of it on your website, but without reaching out to the other communities that exist on the internet, it's almost futile doing so.
The problem you have whenever you mention your website on a podcast is 9 times out of 10 your listener is not in a situation where they can follow for it.
Right, yeah. It. Like people going, like using it as going from to and from work.
Yeah, if you're driving, no way I'm looking up that URL at that point time on a motorway. Dude,
I mean,
I'm a
long distance runner. I'm running when I listen to podcasts, so I have no, you know, I'm not stopping to run. I'm not going to stop.
Yeah.
Look at my phone. Go. It's just
you can't rely on any mention of a website or URL in a podcast to get anybody to go there. You have to find some other way to get people to go there, and I'm not entirely sure what that is.
Well, so are you talking about listeners that are already on board with you? Sure, you're talking about getting other people
even listeners who are on board, because most listeners who are on board don't go to your site. They're not on the forums. A small percentage of your listeners are on your forums looking at your site.
Me, whenever I hear of a podcast or hear of a website I go to, I'm going to go to the website, and especially for a podcast, I'm going to go listen to it from the website first.
You are absolutely the exception.
The way I get it is I hear about a podcast on another podcast. If I'm at work, when I can actually do this, I will put it into my podcasting app of choice, do the search, download the first app, the latest episode. The latest episode, and go that way. I never go to the site because there's no point, because the way that the podcast infrastructure works is
RSS feeds.
Purely down to RSS feed interchange. And
And that's the product. Like, that's the product that we give out is Guardian Radio, episodes of Guardian Radio. And, you know, our website just hosts them kind of by chance because that's where we have them. But, you know, other than that, you know, what, and, you know, I think that's our discussion, Dustin. I can see you saying your product at Podtacular isn't just Podtacular. You want to be pushing out the news and things like that. And for us, that's where we've been kind of like, well, you know, we originally want to be this fan site where people would go, but there's a lot of people doing fan sites at that. And like, do we want to now maybe take time away from Guardian Radio to devote to start posting or just republishing news stories that people are getting already from like Reddit? Like you guys, you know, said Reddit. They're already getting the news stories from Reddit. Why do they want to get it from us? They would rather hear us talk about
Reddit,
it on the podcast.
Generally speaking,
you know?
doesn't help. If people are posting rich media on Reddit, it's because they're ripping it from YouTube. They're pointing to something on YouTube. They're pointing to something on Imgur, and that's the kind of the quick shots. People are going there to get their images of screenshots and the like, or the playthrough, or whatever new update comes out. You know, so people are going to Reddit to find out the instant grabs of information. But they're not going there, and this is kind of almost what I want to say. Apologies to Dustin, I kind of jumped down his throat and said, "Look, you're wrong." But actually, your website is effectively the internet wayback machine. It's the information repository. Did I get that right? I think I got that right. Of critical information or incredibly useful information that is stored for all time. So long as you look after your website and make sure your links don't die, then people will come to your website with an expectation eventually, through whatever reason. Maybe you posted an incredibly amazing podcast that should be listened to by the world and it got to the front page of Reddit, or you just did a news story and it got to the front page of Reddit, or you put something up on your Facebook page and a bunch of people like liked it or whatever they do on Facebook, and eventually people come back to your website, and while they're there looking at that one story, the one thing that they're actually there for, there's a slim, and it is if you look at the Google Analytics on this, it is extraordinarily slim. Like, they'll come for one story and stay for nothing else, but there's a slim possibility that while they're there, they'll see something else that'll grab their eyes, grab their attention, and they'll look at something else while they're there. And if you've got them for a couple of pages, then you've got them for a couple of articles, you've got them for life.
I actually have numbers to back this up.
Please share numbers.
Very, very small numbers, but recently, before we were How to Murder Time, we were the Van Hedblock podcast, and I recently put all of the archives of that online again because they got lost due to ISPs being evil. And after that, suddenly we got a bump in stuff because people would just come along, they would hit the search on the old show notes on that, and our numbers went up noticeably. It wasn't massively, but it was noticeably after that effect, and it's still happening, and we're still getting people coming in, and I can see them on the site logs as they hit one show, hit another show, and then suddenly hit loads of shows when they hit subscribe.
and that's it. I mean, it is an incredibly useful repository of information. It's the storage of past things. You might find that the people are finding a website now because of the density of information. It's suddenly become one of the things, what's called search engine optimization, SEO. Like, suddenly you have this pure data, this show notes reaching back into the decades. And I do like your show notes on each of your podcasts. But you suddenly have all of these links back into your website, and people are going to see it, and that encourages other people to come and see it. So that's how the internet works. The internet, it thrives on the popularity of itself.
Even if a lot of people don't see the post that you're putting up, though, I think it gives a good sense of what your community is focused on. I mean, you could post all the big news info, you're doing what everyone else is doing. But I think you post that to show what is important to you, and especially from the community perspective, because there is a lot of community content out there, more than any one person can absorb. And if you really display that and you have people go out and say, hey, this website posted an article about your thing, you should go check them out. Or if you mention them on a podcast, then it's a good way to reference it in. So it's not necessarily something to just promote content or have people just go to the website just to go to the website. It's, I think, helps define what the website's about, what the community or the podcast is about, even if you're not getting lots of people going there just for the new stuff.
It gives a massive sense of continuity. And I think that's what a lot of people who come in and want a podcast are looking for. They don't want something that's only been around for 2 weeks and going to die in another week. They want something that's been around for 6 months, a year, many years, and that is a massive boost in getting people to actually pay attention to you, I think. Because
I feel like we're maybe one of the most discerning people here when it comes to podcasting, as much as we will actively go out and I listen to at least, well, it depends, some days are better than others, but I'll try and listen to at least one new podcast a day from people who are doing podcasts about games, trying to find people who would be right for thepodcast.com. And I won't even bother listening to someone unless they've done 6 episodes, unless they've lived a little bit. It's a whole kind of, unless you've got experience, then we're not interested in giving you any experience. Catch 22. But if you have a website, if that website is populated, there's content on there, and you can go back like older posts, keep going backwards through time and seeing what's up there. And there's also, I mean, I can see a lot of sites wanting to do just living on Facebook or just living on Tumblr. And I think that, I mean, I'm old school. I existed and I was on the internet before Facebook existed and before Tumblr existed and even before Reddit existed. My own sense of space on the internet is determined not by my ability to conquer another social network, but by the continued existence of the websites that I call my own. And if you are able to provide that for someone,
well, yeah, those social networks are tools. You know, those social networks should really be tools and not, I think, your base of operation. So I guess, yeah, you know, Dustin, if we look at it that way, then yes, you know, I guess you would need to have the website, you know, to kind of hear it said that way.
I mean, I think of it as if you're doing it based only on social networks, you're living in an apartment versus if you have your own website, it's your own house.
From a practical point of view, when it comes down to it, even with Google Plus and the mess they've made of that, your own website is going to come up higher on any Google search than any Facebook post or any Twitter message or anything else, because it's just designed for static web pages like that to come up higher up on the search results.
True.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Absolutely.
But that's a lot of stuff that is, I mean, you could talk about hours on how we kind of ingest stuff and how we regurgitate it for it. So, yeah.
That's why we're going to have future episodes, guys.
Yeah, we'll have a lot more of these.
Episode 2. That's why we're numbering these things.
Exactly. But for everyone listening, thank you again for coming and checking out this podcast. Remember, we are part of the podcast network that is TheePodcast, or you can find us at podka.st for short. Again, my podcast is Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. Aggro is over at Critzcast, the TF2 podcast. Mark Turcotte is over at Guardian Radio, representing the Guardians of Destiny website for the Destiny game that has yet to be released. And then John is over for How to Murder Time, just kind of taking the rest of the games that we don't play and talking about all of those.
Thanks, John.
It's a hard life.
I'm going to let everyone else plug their own specific Facebooks, Twitters, and all that stuff to wrap this up.
Yeah, cool. If you want to check out Quitscast, at Quitscast is a good place on Twitter. My own personal tweet, Twitter account is at John Irwin. That's J-O-H-N-I-R-W-I-N.
Cool, Mark.
You can follow us on Twitter. It's at Guardians of D, which we always have people chuckle when we say that. We are the Guardians of D. Or you can also join our Bungie.net forum group. I mean, I want to throw that out there. If you're interested in playing Destiny, you have to have a Bungie.net account to even play the game. So just search out Guardian Radio over there and join our ever-growing community.
And then Mr. John.
I am John Shute on Twitter, which is J-O-N-S-H-U-T-E, because I spelled John right.
Well, that's a wow. Bloody Mac-A mistake. Mac-A think they do everything right.
Saves it for the end.
Wow.
You can also find my podcast on howtomurdertime.com.
All right. And then for us, you can find us facebook.com/podtackler, twitter.com/podtackler. Instagram.com/podtackler, which we'll be posting a lot of stuff for E3 here very shortly. And you can find us on YouTube, youtube.com/podtacktv. That's the only one I wasn't able to get the whack
so close on.
Well, we did have it in the past, and that was managed by another user, but he's since moved on. The channel's expired on YouTube, I don't have any connections to get that back. I'm not big enough yet.
I've been in that game. It doesn't work.
I may be able to talk to some people at Microsoft to maybe pull some strings with
Google.
YouTube. I don't
Microsoft
know.
Have no pull at
Yeah, that's a conversation that's going to be futile, but good luck to you, yeah?
It's always worth asking, right? But that'll do it for this episode of our kind of group TPK podcast. We'll be back with another one probably in the next couple months or so. We are very excited to do podcasting. We hope you guys are avid fans of all of us, and we encourage you to check out each other's podcast. Please do so. Please head over to thepodcast.com and make sure you check out all of the podcasts on the podcast network.
So talking about websites, if you want to go onto the show notes for this particular episode, there'll be a link to the previous episode, episode 1 of this TPK Group podcast.
Exactly. So until next time, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. We will see you then.
Don't have nightmares.
Later.
Keep on fragging the podcast network.
John, we got a sign up from you? Mr. I've got no H in my name.
No, I'm currently in awe of your using a very, very British reference for yours.
Thank you.